with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 14th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds is back.
Hello.
Hello.
3 weeks, is it? Twice in 3 weeks, something like that. It's good to be back.
You're going to be back quite a bit now, aren't you?
I am. We can announce
I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, we can really go hammer and tong at this now, can't we?
We can. Now you've schmoozed me.
I did schmooze you, didn't I?
That yeah. would be good. Yes, schmoozed me over a Turkish meal.
We did indeed, didn't we? So one of the first customers in a new Turkish restaurant in Hythe.
But you were traumatised they didn't have a Twitter account.
I was mortified. I was mortified, listener. I really was. Because they were really brilliant, weren't they? It was a lovely restaurant, and on the wall they had all these kind of decals of things like Instagram and Facebook.
Yep.
And I went, "Where's your Twitter?" And they went, "Oh, we haven't got Twitter." "You haven't got Twitter? Where have you been?"
And listener, what he said was, "Well, if you're not on Twitter, I'm not going to be able to help you. I've got a really big following," he said.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So me tweeting out that I've just had the best kebab ever I've had in Hythe High Street this week
exactly.
Didn't work.
But you were right. For either of us, it wasn't going to be much help to them.
No, and it's funny you should say that, Joe. It is really funny you should say that, because I've just had a tweet.
Well,
and I've just had a tweet, not from the Turkish restaurant, which was lovely, but from the Goudhurst Inn.
Ah.
And I said, "Did you enjoy your burger yesterday, Paul?"
Ah, so
and yes, I did.
Are on Twitter.
Yeah, so they obviously are on Twitter, and they obviously recognised that I was on Twitter, and they just tweeted me and said, "Did you enjoy your burger yesterday?" Yeah,
good.
I did. It was lovely. Goudhurst Inn at Goudhurst. Great stuff.
What did you have on it?
I had the Goudhurst burger. It had bacon and cheese.
Mm, sounds lovely.
It was very nice. Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff. Cool. Anyway, listen, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses out there in Southeast England, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. We have already had 9,876 tweets.
Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Just checking.
We've had a lot, basically.
It's a bit precise. You didn't have long to count them, did you, really?
Do you know, Joe, that 87.64% of all statistics are made up on the spot?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Normally when I'm with you. No. Yeah, that's what they say.
Right, I've got a tweet, and I've got to be really, really careful here, because this is an apology tweet.
Oh.
Right. I mentioned this last week and I got it wrong.
Oh dear.
This is a tweet for Miss, this is her Twitter handle, Mrs. Denise Wilton. Denise Wilton.
So what did you call her last week?
Denise.
I thought you were going to say Dennis.
No, Denise. Denise.
What did you call her before?
Denise.
And what is it?
Denise.
Oh, right.
I'm okay. So sorry, Denise. But here's a shout out for Mrs. Denise Wilton on the Twitter. Do give her a follow. She's an absolutely lovely lady. She's
How did she explain that, by the way?
She sent me a personal message, and she said it is not Denise with the word niece on it. Oh. It is Denise with the word knees.
Legs, knees.
Yeah.
Okay,
get it right, she said, Paul. Otherwise, I'll never talk to you again, and that would be horrible, because I'd love to talk to her again, because she's a very lovely lady, and she's a specialist in PR communications. She also does a lot of work with the charity sector, especially dementia, in the Midway Towns area, and she's an actress.
Oh, lovely. Ooh. And, of course, being into, PR, marketing, all that sort of stuff, knows how important it is to get people's names right.
Exactly. It is important to get people's names right, and I do normally try quite hard. But being of the Cockney persuasion, it don't always come out right. Do you know what I mean, innit? Eh?
Rodney.
She called me a plonker. Oh, no, I called you a plonker,
you
didn't
me a plonker,
I?
Yeah.
I called you a plonker last night, yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
I called you Rodney, so I think,
you did,
actually,
yeah.
We're probably quit.
Monge 2. So anyway, you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. I'll tell you what, Joe, do you want to kick off with an email?
I will, but could I just mention Cars from Kent? Because they also tweeted and they said, shout out please, buy and sell your car locally, carsfromkent.com. Because we do say, send us a message and we'll read it out, so I did.
Good, thank you.
So, the Royal Kent Retailer Awards is this year. They're a charity organisation that recognises the important role village shops and post offices play in maintaining vibrant communities in rural Kent. Did you know, by the way, that the post office is the biggest retailer in Europe?
No.
We went to an
event. Even though they've shut most of them.
There's over 11,000, I missed the presentation, I have to say. I was late for the meeting.
You weren't
paying... I'm quoting this.
Joe. No one will know. No, listen.
Oh, yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
82%. Yeah,
make it up, Joe, make it up. How many times have I got to tell you this?
No, yeah, I missed this.
There are 182,000 post offices in England and Wales, and...
it was something like 71 or 77,000 post offices.
Right.
Which actually, obviously, is a lot if you think in terms of
It's quite
shops.
A few.
Yeah. So anyway, but there you go. Did you know? Useless fact that I don't actually know the true answer to. So not only in terms of villagers being able to purchase supplies and access banking and postal services without having to travel outside the village, but also the shop and post office being important social hubs
right.
in a village.
Yep.
So this year in October, they're putting on an awards night to celebrate the superb service and unwavering dedication Kent rural retailers bring to the lives of residents in rural Kent.
Cool.
I can say they do bring joy to my daughter on a Friday after netball club because we get an ice cream at the shop on the way home. They're looking for a sponsor for this year's event. If anyone would like to talk about sponsoring the event, please contact Sharon Davis, info@kentruralretailers.co.uk.
Do you know, you were right first time.
Why?
The very first number that you said actually was correct.
No,
what you actually said was 11. It's 11,500.
Oh, I
just googled it.
70 something from then.
No, because you said 11, and then you thought that doesn't sound. You thought that doesn't sound a lot, so I'll fabricate a bigger number. Is what you thought? Yeah. No, I got that. I got that. It's 11,500 according to Google.
Yeah, but if you compare that to big shops, you know, like
that's a lot. It's a lot of shops. It's a lot of shops.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice one. We've had a tweet from the New Appointments Group as well. They said, we're tuning in to the Business Bunker Show. Can we have a big shout out, please, for the NAG teams in Sittingbourne and Sandwich? Of course you can.
Lovely.
They're the lovely folks at New Appointments Group, one of Kent's longest established recruitment agencies, a local company that is also a big company, if you see what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So do give them a follow under Twitter, and their Twitter handle is NAG, N-A-G, Recruitment. Oh, one word, NAG Recruitment. Did give them a follow. So thank you for that, the team at Sittingbourne and Sandwich. They're at Discovery Park in Sandwich, by the way.
Ah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Shall I do this one?
Yeah, go for it.
So Create on July the 28th. I was only looking at this online the other day, and I'm gutted because I can't go because it looks really good. So they've just released tickets for Create. It's going to be bigger and better than previous. They're in a new space.
Mm.
So that's a whopping 90 businesses to work with. For just £10, you get to see the three awesome speakers, plus wine, beer and pizza.
Absolutely.
Included.
Yeah, absolutely.
So David Shaw, he's cool, a Spurs fan and Sunday League football player, is up first with a
job. You can't have everything, can you? Poor boy. He needs to stick to technology and avoid the football at all costs.
So he's talking about disrupt or be disrupted, how business is changing as a result of technology and how you can keep up with this. I'm on a summit with him in the summer as well. Daniel Knowlton, a lover of skiing, good chap, who also brews his own ale. It says awesome here, but I don't drink that anymore. It's got gluten in it.
Mm.
And he's following up with his 5 steps to social media success. And last but most definitely not least is Amy McManus, an MOD certified marksman. Cool. That's an accolade, isn't it?
Blimey.
And her first words were quack, quack. Not quite such an accolade. Who will have a quacking presentation on how to create epic content for social media. What I want to know is the people who put these together, how do they find out these details? They're quite extreme, aren't they?
Yep.
And all the drinks will be provided by the gold sponsors, Smartphone Film School and Supply My Business. And a big thank you to their lead sponsor, Red Sprout, who are supplying the pizzas. And the event will be filmed by Wagon Films. So it all sounds great. So just go to, well, you can go to their Twitter account, which is @FruitworksCo. And I can't see a link to actually book, but just Google Fruitworks Canterbury.
Shall I tell you the link?
Yeah, I know you'd know it. Go on then.
It's fruitworks.co, .co/create.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's going to be the first one in the new space there. Mm-hmm. And as it happens, just while we're talking about Fruitworks, as of this Friday, the downstairs portion of Fruitworks will be open for a week, staging an art exhibition. On behalf of the students from Canterbury College, and it is looking fabulous. So do get along from Friday evening for a whole week to number one and two Drury Lane. It's just off the high street behind the Abode Hotel in Canterbury, and have a look at the art exhibition.
So is that in a different place now to the address that's on here?
Yeah, well,
Is it too complicated to explain?
No, it's not, but I'll explain. But this sounds like a sales pitch now. And I wouldn't do anything like that.
I'll give you permission. Go on.
The original Fruit Works, the address of Fruit Works is 77 Stour Street. And you still have to go in that door at the moment.
Ah.
We now own number one and number two, Drury Lane, which is actually part of the same building, but just has a slightly separate postal address. But we haven't opened the front door to that yet, so you still got to go in the door of 77 Stour Street. Does that make sense?
That does now make sense, okay. Yes, exactly.
But thanks if you're going explaining. To the exhibition,
yes.
You can go in the door of number one and two, Drury Lane, because we have opened the door for the exhibition.
Yes.
Got it?
Yeah, I got it. And explains why you were having to think carefully about the address as well.
So yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for explaining.
I was trying to guide you to the best hole in the wall to walk through, basically, is where we're at.
Cool.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Lucy, now Mrs. Torble, Lucy Torble of Dandelion Social. And she says, hello, Vanilla Web. Hello, Joe. Hello, Business Bunker. Can I have a shout out, please?
Most
of course you
definitely.
Can. And talking about Fruit Works, actually, funnily enough, this is how all these things come together. Lucy of Dandelion Social currently has a blog on the Fruit Works blog site about podcasting, because Lucy was one of the speakers at the last Create event, and that's what she talked about.
Yes, about podcasting. Another one I wanted to go to, but again, couldn't go to.
See, you want to go to lots of the things that I stage, but you never turn up. That's the problem. There's the drawback
I'm a bit of a recluse, really. I just stay at home in my office and don't go anywhere. That's why social media is such a good boon.
Exactly. We've had a tweet from Gemma, the lovely Gemma Fairhay at Orchard Employment Law, who's tweeted to say that she's listening in. And Denise.
Very good.
Yeah, Denise has asked if we could put some pictures up of the art on the walls at Fruit Works, and we certainly will do when that's in full swing.
Yeah.
We will do that. So what else you got, Joe?
Okay, I have a story about a Maidstone mum who's been shortlisted for a national award. So she's a finalist for the 2016 URSA Employability Awards in the Significant Achievement category, which in itself I think is a significant achievement.
It's a significant achievement.
So the award recognises a job seeker who's demonstrated exceptional commitment to overcoming their barriers to secure lasting employment. So Sian Mully was unemployed for 7 years before finding full-time work, and she has transformed her life with the help of Kennedy Scott, a company that specialises in supporting those with complex barriers to find good, sustainable jobs. So she's a single parent. She left to work to become a full-time mum. And then she had lots of time travelling between Maidstone and a hospital in London with her young child. And then she went through 50 months of intense employability support through Kennedy Scott's work programme, helping her update her CV, write her letters, cover letters and search for vacancies. And she was delighted to secure a full-time position as a domestic cleaner working for a Maidstone-based cleaning firm. And she's since been promoted to a managerial role. So she's been nominated by Kennedy Scott for, as I said, the Significant Achievement Award, which sounds really good. And Kirsty McHugh, the Chief Executive of URSA, said, "Our judges this year have had a close to impossible task in shortlisting the best in class from across the sector. This sector is about professionalism and passion. Every one of our finalists has demonstrated both in their efforts to ensure that the nation's job seekers are able to thrive in the labour market. And the winner will be announced at a ceremony in London on the 21st of July."
Fantastic, thank you. I've had a tweet from Taywell Ice Cream, who are Taywell Online on the Twitter, Taywell_online, and they said, yeah, it was a great lunch yesterday, wasn't it? Because I had lunch with them yesterday at the Geldhurst Inn, and they're listening to the show. Hello, Alistair and the team at Taywell Online, the makers of the greatest ice cream in the world.
So that's two lunches in 2 weeks. Is that all you do? Just go out for lunch every
it's
day?
It's not two lunches in two lunches.
No,
two,
I know, it's
lunches.
More, isn't it?
I've had lunch every day. So far, my diet has gone completely to pot. It's completely disappeared down the pan. I've got another lunch tomorrow and a dinner.
Wow.
It's not good, is it?
Good job. It's radio is all I can say.
And I'm going to a potato expo on Wednesday night.
Potato expo.
Don't ask.
Will they be cooking all the potatoes in all the different ways you can cook potatoes?
Yeah, they will. But not only that, I've got to tell you this. We're running. Anyway, I've got to tell you this. It's the lovely Hilary Steele, the queen of potatoes.
Yeah.
And she makes all kinds of things out of potato, not just potato, if you see what I mean. So it's not just chips and sauté and roasties and jacket and mash.
Yeah.
She does muffins and bread and all kinds of stuff and cakes made from potato.
Mm, Sounds
it's
good.
Unbelievable. And I'm going to a potato fest on Wednesday to sample some of it.
So that's going to not help the diet either.
And the diet's just gone. It's gone completely. It's, yeah, it's over at the moment. Not good. I just want to do one more email before we have a quick break for some tunage. And it's an email from the lovely folks at RAP Office Contracts. And they say, we were wondering if on your show, please can you give a shout out for our cupcake event and see if any Kent business would like to come. It's come along and support RAP Interiors on Cupcake Day, which is June the 16th. Which
is that
will be
a real day or is that just their day?
I don't know, actually.
It's a real day now
because you've just heard it on the world famous Business Bunker show.
Well, obviously,
so
yeah.
We've just designated June the 16th as World Cupcake Day, even if it wasn't. You can visit our offices in Kent, and I think they're at the Orchard Industrial Estate in Maidstone on June the 16th, which will be, what, Thursday. Or you can just donate on our Just Giving page, and they're raising money for the Alzheimer's Society. The best thing to do is give them a follow on the Twitter, RAP_office_contracts.
Lovely.
Yep. Do you know what we're going to do now, Joe?
Play some tunage.
We're going to play a bit of tunage. Yeah, have a break. What do you reckon? This is a special request. Both my bits of tunage, I was here late today, so I didn't have time to pick anything cheesy, which I normally do.
Yeah.
So I just got a request from Kate in the bistro next door. And she's just come back from holiday, so she's still bronzed.
Love Tropicana.
Yeah, she's bronzed and in a very relaxed and chilled state.
Lovely.
So she asked me to play this.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
JobsInKent.com.
Want more business? Make it happen by joining supplymybusiness.co.uk and start generating more business today for your Kent business.
Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 14th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the world famous Joe Dodds. That was a bit of Bill Withers there. Lovely day.
It was. It was. As in, it was a good bit of music, apart from
it's not a lovely day. I lied. It's one of those shows. It's one of those shows. Yeah. It's not too bad. It's not as bad as it was last week. Last week was bizarre down here. We were on air last week, and it was actually really sunny out there.
It was my birthday last week, so yes, it's always sunny on my birthday.
We went for lunch, and you never mentioned it at all. And when I got home that night, and it flipped past midnight, I got this warning on Facebook that says, it's Joe Dodds' birthday. I've just had lunch with Joe Dodds, and she never mentioned that at all.
They're overrated birthdays, I always think.
Yeah.
Little Dodsy hides all my cards and everything religiously because she thinks that I'm desperate to open them. But then she like brings them out the day before going, it's nearly your birthday. You can open them now, Mummy. Like, I don't need them now.
It's Father's Day on Sunday, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't expect to get anything from my two kids because I never do. Although Stu, my youngest, last year, I thought it did make me laugh. I got an email and it had a photograph of a Father's Day card. And it just said, if I wasn't an impoverished student and you actually bothered to ever send me any money, this is the card I would have bought you. He said, and this is the stamp and the envelope I would have bought too and sent you. But as I haven't got any money, I didn't. Happy Father's Day. So love, Stu.
You got a guilt trip for Father's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
So, good stuff. Do you want to go with an email?
Yep, okay. Well, I'd like to read this one about Eleanor.
Yes.
The hospice, because I went to an event last week and it was the lady that spoke before me who was talking about what they do.
All right, okay. So, was that Rachel? Rachel Helger?
Can't remember. She was a nurse before, but
she talks now
about what they do. But anyway, so they've launched an exciting challenge to local businesses, the Accumulator Challenge, a competition to see which companies can grow £50 into the largest amount to provide much-needed funds for families facing terminal illness. So the initial investment of £50 notes is using some funds generously... and then you just put your coffee down.
I just chucked drink all over myself. How stupid was that?
Must have been something in the air. Mm. It's been generously donated by Councillor David Elliott, the Mayor of Tunbridge Wells, who chose Eleanor as his Charity of the Year 2015-16. So the initiative was unveiled at a recent gathering of Eleanor Business Club, which saw a number of businesses sign up on the spot, and that includes Matthew Sankey, owner of Sankey's in Tunbridge Wells, where the meeting took place, Handel's Banken, Berwick, Devoyle Healthcare Limited, Climbing Goats, Cooper Burnett and Backsaw Construction. So each of these initial six companies, even if they raise another £50 each through the scheme, then the resulting £300 could pay for 10 sessions of play therapy for one of the charity's young patients or siblings. So the Accumulator Challenge begins on the 11th of July and will run for 3 months. And they'll have an award ceremony at the end of the challenge where the companies who've raised the most money and those who've been particularly creative will be recognised. If you're interested in participating in the Eleanor Accumulator Challenge to raise funds for the hospice, please call Kate Barnes on 01474 320007, extension 1119, it's a bit complicated, or email kate.barnes@eleanor.org.
Cool.
Lovely.
Thank you. Good stuff. There's a networking annual summer barbecue, and it's taking place on Wednesday the 6th of July, and this is with the Kent Invicta Chamber. It's their summer barbecue.
I can't go to that one either. I saw it yesterday.
You can't go anywhere, can you?
But it looks good, doesn't
it? Were you trapped indoors? Are you agoraphobic or something? What's all this about, Joe? Yeah. I'd love to go to that, but I can't.
No.
I'm not going to that. But the one that you're not going to that's on the 6th of July, which is a barbecue, exactly. Joe, is at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, and that's in the precincts of the cathedral. And it's on the 6th of July, which is a Wednesday, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. And you can join other Kent businesses for the annual Kent Invicta Chamber Networking Summer Barbecue. It's located within a beautiful and inspirational grounds of Canterbury Cathedral Lodge on Wednesday the 6th of July. You can enjoy a delicious two-course barbecue with soft drink on arrival whilst making new contacts, generating business leads and sharing ideas, experiences with like-minded business people. It's £20 if you're a member of the chamber and £25 if you're not. And you can find out more about it and book your place by going to their website, which is kentinvictorchamber.co.uk.
Lovely. Well, I've got a couple of their other networking things I can just tack onto that, which After Hours Networking. Mm. They're 6 till 7.30 in the evening, and they're popular and highly successful casual networking events. And there's one tonight at the Imperial Hotel in Hythe. There's one tomorrow at the Royal Wells Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. Another one tomorrow at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel in Chatham. And then one on Thursday at the Broad Oak BMW in Ashford. And then they go on from there. But if you check their website, kentinvictorchamber.co.uk/events, you can find out when the others are.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to our first guest.
Lovely. Been looking
forward
to this one.
Absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Andy Davis. And Andy is from Why Not Fix. Why Not Fix? There's a reason
the pause
I said.
Then. That was
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because I put a little bit on the end. I'm doing really badly with names. I put a little bit on the end on the website, so you can ignore that, and I'll take it off again later. But Andy is from Why Not Fix. Andy, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Good afternoon.
Absolute pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about Andy and a bit more about Why Not Fix?
Okay. Well, my name's Andy Davis. I live in Hawkinge. Lived in Kent all my life. Worked in the corporate world for 20-25 years, doing different roles.
What kind of organisations were you working for, Andy?
I started off at Marconi Avionics at Rochester.
Oh, right,
did apprenticeship, five-year apprenticeship, then went to Canon, the office equipment company, for 15 years. Everything from technician fixing copiers to team managers, regional manager, national manager. Then I went to Gatwick Airport and became operations manager for the company that look after lifts and escalators, Connie.
Oh, I thought he was going to tell us he was fixing planes.
No.
Yeah. Just put the wings back on this 747. Be with you in a minute.
Yeah, just stick them back on with glue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that was quite fun and quite an enjoyable experience, really, because obviously it's such a buzzy place, 24/7, very full-on environment. Then I worked for a sign company in managing the engineers that went out fixing the signs all over the world.
Do you know what? He doesn't look that old, does he?
He doesn't. I was just thinking the same. I was thinking, hello, hold on a minute.
Well, that's up to 65.
Yeah. He started fixing things up chimneys when he was four.
That's right. Still got some soot in my pockets.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, a lot of people say that. I don't know why, but I don't use any
It obviously agrees with you, Andy. You're a smiley chap, isn't he? He's a smiley chap. He's obviously incredibly happy in the work that he does, and he knows what he's doing, and it's kept him looking young and vibrant. And
Thank you for the compliments.
That's okay. So, how long have you been working? Because you work for yourself at the moment, and it's just you, as I understand it.
That's correct. Yes.
So, how long have you been doing that?
Why Not Fix itself has been set up for 3 years.
Right. Okay.
I'm in my third year now.
Okay.
Going very well, actually.
Cool.
I took some time out from my previous job to a couple of months just to sort of see whether it would work. It was a viable option, and then started running the business 3 years ago, and it's proving it's going from strength to strength, which is really good.
Sweet. So let's explore the kind of things that you're doing, how you're doing it, why you're doing it, and who you're doing it to, and all those kind of things. So first of all, Why Not Fix? I love the name, and we had a kind of discussion off air about this, but maybe we'd talk about that again. You know, one of the things that a lot of us do, especially nowadays, is we can approach things as being disposable, even when they're not supposed to be disposable. You know, we have very short attention spans these days. If something stops working, it's funny. At the moment, listener, one of my screens in the studio has stopped working. My response to that is to throw it away and get another one. And Andy's going, you need to check if that's plugged in properly, you know, Paul. And I'm going, no, don't worry about that.
Andy's
it's gone.
Itching to get his hands
on it. He keeps looking at it and going, I can fix that. I can make that work. And I'm going, no, I'm going to chuck it away, mate. And he's going, no, I can fix that. Don't you worry. You're absolutely right. We do have this approach to a lot of things that we dispose of things. And we were also talking to Daniel, who's our second guest on later in the show, who runs a chain of hotels. And he was saying, you know, they quite often have loads of equipment that they take out of their rooms because it's past the sell by date, or they're refurbishing their rooms or upgrading, whatever. And once upon a time, we used to throw all this stuff away. But now there are quite a few organisations that you can donate it to that reuse it. And a lot of that is because this stuff, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, there is something wrong with it. Obviously, it's still working.
That's why I'm employed.
Yeah, exactly. But you can make it work again. Yeah?
You can, yeah. That's right. That's very true. I mean, a lot of people don't realise that it can be fixed. Mm. Or, like you said there, just don't know where to go, what to do.
Yeah.
The culture now is throwing it away.
I think it's the don't know where to go bit that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, this is going to sound really wonky. I'm really sorry about this. I'm a great fan of one of the Skype programs called Wheeler Dealers.
Yes, have you ever seen program,
it? Yeah, where they allegedly buy a cheap car, do it up and flog it for loads of money. And it never ceases to amaze me the kind of things you can get fixed by little firms, normally in Birmingham.
Yes.
They're normally somewhere in Birmingham in an industrial estate. And they had one the other day where the LED display on an Audi TT was displaying some incorrect pixels. And they had no budget left to buy a new little LED display. They took it to this place in Birmingham who stripped the whole thing down and went, "Ah, that's your problem," resoldered it, and it burst back into life. And you think, it would never have dawned on me to even Google whether somebody does that for a living. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think with technology, there's too much. There's a lot involved in them. Everything has got a lot. You know, so their cars have got LED stuff in, you've got Wi-Fi, you've got Bluetooth in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you've got remote charging, you've got wireless charging on devices. Yeah. There's so much that can go wrong, and people just, like you said, they just don't know where to go.
Yes. So Andy, tell us
which is why I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us the best thing, or the most unusual thing, or the most
weirdest
whatever thing that you've fixed for somebody. Perhaps the one where they were most pleased or something. I don't know. Oh, I'll put you on the spot.
There's
now.
Lots of things. there's lots of things that I get to fix. I mean, probably the things I get most reward from is Christmas lights, because there's a customer of mine who's been a very good customer for years, and she's got children, and they're autistic.
Right.
And to them, they have to have the same Christmas lights in their room every year.
Right, okay.
Without fail, they've got to have this thing, or they've got to have this iPad.
Yeah.
And just, you know, to fix that for them, charge them, you know, it's only going to cost £3 for the part, and I'll just charge them that.
Yeah.
And just to see their little faces when they get their light back at Christmas, it's just great, you know.
Absolutely.
That's what I enjoy doing, and also some of the older customers I've got with their vacuum cleaners that they just don't know what to do, where to go, who to go and see.
You fix especially their nowadays, vacuum cleaners, you can't buy really strong ones anymore, can you?
No,
my mother-in-law went out and
no.
bought an extra one so that when hers went wrong, she wouldn't have to buy one of the less, you know.
Yeah.
That's let's not even go there with EU rules. I've had enough of that already.
Don't
worry.
But that would be why now that's really good as well for people, that their vacuum cleaners that they like, they can have fixed.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people come to me with one that's very cheap, and if I can fix it, I'll fix it. You know, I don't charge a lot of money to people, but I also now do recondition Dysons myself, because a lot of people want a Dyson but can't afford. I mean, some of them now are £400 or £500 for a vacuum cleaner, which to me is just ludicrous.
Absolutely.
It's a motor and a bit of plastic.
You'd be proud of me. You'd be proud of me, Andy. You'd be proud of me. I had a new kitchen built a year or so ago, and one of the things I had put in was one of those things that pops out of the counter that has a power leads and a USB port and all of that. And I'd only had it there a couple of months, and one day I lifted it up and I went a bit mad with it, and I pulled it and I broke the bottom off and pulled the whole thing right out. So I rang the people that fitted it for me and said, "Where did you get it from?" And they went, you can just Google them. And I went, okay. So I started Googling. They weren't expensive. I mean, about £30 to buy a replacement one. I thought, do you know what? I can fix this.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I got it all out, and I got all my super glue out, and I got all kinds of things, and I fixed it. I glued it all back and put it in, and it fell apart again, so I threw it away and bought another one. But I had a go.
At least you tried.
My other DIY disaster. I got a tap in the kitchen, in the new kitchen, and it's a mixer tap, and it started to would be loose.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so yes, it kind of moved itself. The whole thing moved round, and I thought, well, it needs tightening up. And I'm trying to look underneath, and of course the sink's in the way and you can't see anything, and I've got an arrangement of mirrors and torches, and I'm trying to look. And I am one for Googling things. So I Google it and they go, no. One of the problems with these is you need a box spanner. Yeah,
yes,
you can't fix it without a box spanner.
You do.
Yeah, so it's a long thing that you stick up there. So
Paul says, looking at me like I don't know
what
that is.
No. I'm just telling
which
the story.
I don't,
but I can't see it, so I don't know what size it is.
Yes.
So I go to the Stanley George is a local little independent DIY store where I live in Tenterston. So I go in there on a Saturday afternoon and I go, "You're going to punch me, but I need a box spanner." And they went, "What?" And I went, "Don't ask me the size, because I don't know." And they went, "Right." And they said, "What's it for?" And I said, "A mixer tap." They went, "Ah, you need one of these." So they gave me a box spanner that's got a Tommy bar in it.
That's it.
So I got all under there. I got the spanner in there. I put the Tommy bar in. I pushed it. The Tommy bar flicked out, cut my head open, and fell down.
Yeah. Oh, behind the cupboard.
Behind the cupboard, so I couldn't get it.
And you didn't fix the tap.
I did eventually, because I used a screwdriver, but, you know.
You got there in the end, though.
Yeah, I got there in the end, but I did have a wound.
Injured yourself.
I did have a wound.
So for all you people like Paul, then, I would recommend Andy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Andy, what sort of things do you fix?
I don't do taps. I do my own taps, but predominantly it's mobile phones,
right?
iPods, iPads, laptops, PCs, vacuum cleaners, every girl's favourite piece of equipment, GHD hair straighteners.
Oh, right.
You've been asked that one.
I nearly
before.
Got that out. Yeah.
That's a big one for me because they're expensive to buy.
Yeah.
Why buy a new pair when you can get them fixed for £3? So
yeah. Absolutely, my hair straighteners. Yeah, I am so addicted. Oh no,
they work so well. Clearly,
well, I did. I just want to come back because you mentioned phones, iPhones, and iPads and things like that.
Sure.
When you say you fix them, I mean there's kind of casing damage, so breaking the glass and stuff like that. Presumably, you fix that kind of stuff.
Pretty much anything to do with mobile phones. From an iPhone point of view, it's everything from screens, charging connectors, volume buttons.
Could you fix my microphone on the front of my computer, on front of my phone? I think when they replaced the screen, they didn't connect it back up properly. Yeah, so any works on the other side?
I bet
side
that went
now?
To a town phone shop then, didn't it?
Through my insurance company, so I don't know.
But yeah, anything in a phone is fixable.
Lovely.
Right.
To be honest, I keep all the parts for iPhones, Samsungs, HTCs. I don't tend to do Sony phones now because they can be a bit troublesome.
Right.
But and the same with iPads. I do charging connectors, home buttons, screens, speakers. You name it. I keep the parts.
And most things are fairly fixable, are they?
Yeah. Generally, I mean, often it can be down to getting parts. I mean, some of the cheap phones you can't get the parts for them.
Right.
So they just don't manufacture them. But
keyboard on my laptop through Google, googling YouTube.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I managed to do it.
It's generally quite straightforward.
I didn't break it, but I could have done. It was a close thing.
Yeah. A lot of people, I mean, I get that a lot. I do get people coming to me with a bag of bits or a bowl of bits where they said, I've said, it's going to cost you this to fix it. And they go, oh, no, I'll do it myself. And then they come to you and then it costs them twice as much.
Yeah.
They go, this is broken, that's broken, this doesn't do this, isn't it? But, I don't mind people trying, it's fine.
Yeah.
And it does make it a bit more interesting sometimes than rather than just doing a standard repair of a screen.
Do you actually enjoy the problem solving part of it?
Oh, yeah, love it. Yeah.
Is that really what does it for you?
Yes.
Yeah. When you get your little probe and you put your probe on there and go, oh, there's nothing there.
That's right. I mean, with phones, it's a bit difficult, but I mean, I do also do ovens, tumble dryers and stuff, and washing machines.
Oh, my goodness, I'm so glad you came
today. There you go, see? That's handy, isn't it?
I've been looking for someone to do my oven for ages.
But that's the beauty of Andy's business, isn't it? That when you suddenly know someone that can fix these kind of things, you suddenly remember all the things you chucked in the back of a cupboard that, just stopped for the day for whatever reason, and you just can't be bothered to think about it.
That's right.
And it's not only being bothered to think about it. Quite often, as we've all said, you don't know where to go.
No.
Sometimes you can phone a manufacturer, and they're not always the most helpful in the world.
They're not, and they're expensive.
Mm. Yeah, I had a boiler. I know you wouldn't touch boilers because it's a gas boiler, and you need gas safe and all the rest of it. But I had a boiler. And I had to put this boiler in because my old boiler, which had nothing wrong with it at all, but they came to service it and said, we can't service that because you need to have a condensing boiler now. So I had to take out a perfectly serviceable boiler and put one of these horrible condensing boilers in.
Yeah.
A week later, I got a fault on there, F7, right? So still under warranty, obviously, because it's only a couple of weeks old. So I ring the manufacturer and I go, I've got a fault F7. They said, you can't have, there's no such thing.
Okay.
It's what it says. And they went, no, you can't. There's no such thing as an F7. So I Googled their manual. And there's no F7 in there. And I said, but it's got an F7. And no, you can't have. So I actually took a photograph and I sent it to them. And they went, oh, that's odd.
I mean, it happens in my world. I get that with certain appliances or whatever you work on something. It comes up with a strange error. Mm. And, I've got service manuals, which are the engineering manuals, and it may not be listed.
Yeah.
Because it can happen in things technically. But,
So how do you work? Do you go to people's houses?
Yeah, I do a bit of both. I mean, I'm based in Hawkinge. Fair few people drop stuff to me.
For those that don't know, Hawkinge is Folkestone area, really.
Yeah, Folkestone, So I tend to be based there. I get phones being dropped off, GHD hair straighteners. iPads I have to do at my house because of the technology of getting the screens off, because I have to heat it. Mm. But a lot of the phones I go out, I mean, I cover all of the Marsh. I go up into Ashford, Medway Towns.
Right.
So I can go to people's homes. Certain things, obviously, I can. If it's a washing machine, I've got to.
Yeah, sure. I'll put it in the post. Put it in a jiffy bag and send it to you.
That's it. I mean, vacuum cleaners, I also offer a collection delivery service of things like vacuum cleaners and stuff like that. iPads, I do generally, I can do the same day if the person's close to me.
Yeah.
If not, then it tends to be the following day. But going back to what you said there, it's often I walk into people's houses and they go, oh, you're here to fix this. I give you one of my flyer cards and they go, oh, you fix you fix GHDs, you fix washing machines, you fix vacuum cleaners.
It's like me, I've got a whole list for you now.
Yeah. And I get people wheeling out. I mean, I went to a house a while ago, went in there to an iPhone 5 screen. Yeah. I came out with two iPads, a pair of straighteners and a Dyson.
And it's like the generation game, isn't
and
it?
And then I'm thinking, where am I going to put this in my van?
So what we're looking for is hoarders.
Yeah, yeah.
Who
yeah.
have things broken down over many years and have put them all in
a
cupboard.
I get a lot of that. I get a lot of that.
But you know, the same would happen if you came to my house. Yeah. Upstairs in my house, I've got a pile of computer equipment. Yeah, I used to be a computer engineer, for goodness sake, there's no excuse
for
this. Yeah, no, but I just haven't got the time. I've got a pile of stuff thrown in a cupboard, which was parts of other PCs.
Yeah.
If I went and just took it all apart, I could build two complete PCs out of it without repairing anything.
Yes.
You know, just by using the parts in a different sequence, but I can't be bothered. I chuck it all and come and go and buy a new one.
Yeah, ridiculous. A lot of people do, but it is surprising. I've had a customer. She had went to fix a pair of hair straighteners because her friend had said, "Oh, this guy fixes them." So I went around her house to fix them, and she had three spare pairs in her drawer. GHD hair straighteners, just in case it was broke down. And now she got rid of them and said, "Do you want them?" Because she doesn't need them, because she's now got her own GHD fix-it man. But I get people panicking, and I need them done tonight, I need them done early in the morning, can't go to work without the straight hair.
I feel the same. Daniel and I have exactly that issue.
I notice that, you two. I mean, luckily I don't, because mine's quite short. I enjoy what I do. I mean,
You clearly do.
I didn't want to just do phones, I didn't want to just do white goods, because I just would find it boring.
You're like a saviour, though, aren't you? I mean, some people must just be like hugging you when you leave the house with all these things working.
Every single one of us has said the same thing, haven't we? And we're not schmoozing him about this.
No, we've all said the same thing.
Now we know that he exists.
Yeah.
We can all of us immediately thought of at least half a dozen things that we need fixing.
And my mother-in-law already told me when I said I was coming on the show, "Oh, get his number." So I'd already got him a customer before I'd even got
him. Fantastic. But I also do, you know, it's not just private customers. I also do corporate companies as well.
Yeah.
If I can mention a couple of corporate companies.
Yeah, of course you can.
Saga. Saga Group. I do all their phones and all their iPads across the UK.
Yeah.
I either collect them from one of the offices or they'll send them down to me.
Right.
City Electrical Factors, electrical wholesalers, 400 branches across the UK. I do all their phones, all their iPads. If they're local, they bring them to me with their delivery guys. If not, they just send them to me via courier. I fix them and then they get it back within 3 days, whereas their other company was taking a week and a half.
Right.
So I can cope with big companies and small companies.
Can I? You're obviously a trained engineer. You're an apprentice, and then you've spent many years in the business.
Electronics,
as an electronics engineer, and you're obviously a professional electronics engineer. But a lot of this stuff, presumably, you've had to kind of learn by as you go along, you know, because you don't come equipped with an intimate knowledge of the innards of the latest phone or whatever.
Exactly, that's right. That's right. But I think a lot of it comes down to my background, because
it's
mechanical engineering, electronics, logical mind.
Yeah.
The key things, logical mind and patience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I often go to people's houses and take a phone apart and you show them the size of the screws, they're like, "I couldn't do that."
Yeah.
You know, I would have lost a rag with it thrown at the floor.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got to take your time and just concentrate and really, you know, just study it. But everything by nature is electrical or mechanical, so everything's got mechanical bits and electronics bits. So that I'm not making myself be good here, but you know, that's because of what I do for a living.
It's like
a bricklayer. You know, I could build a wall, but it would take me a day, whereas a bricklayer could do 10 walls.
It's
you get into that knowledge and, you know.
And of course, it's also the fact that you have confidence in what you're doing because you know what you're doing.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas
me, you get something and you might think, "I'll have a go at this." And nowadays you Google it normally to find out what people say. And you're kind of looking at the Google screen and, you know, you're kind of going, "Oh, it doesn't look quite the same in my mind."
I get that. I mean, Google is great, but it can be very dangerous, particularly some of the YouTube videos. It shows people stick your phone in the oven, put your laptop in the oven, wrap your PlayStation in towels, and all these different random things.
Damp and stuff.
And it catches fire and burns your house down. It can be dangerous, but a lot of it's the tools, because the screws are so tiny. You need magnetised screwdrivers. They don't tell you that on the videos.
Yeah.
You pull the screw out, you'll never find it on the carpet, and then your phone's knackered.
Yeah.
So two other things I think you should mention is the salon stuff that we talked about, because that's probably an opportunity, and also your pap testing.
Yes. I mean, salon equipment, I mean, when we're talking about that, we're talking about sort of hood dryers, beauty equipment, all these different sort of electrolysis machines that ladies have there, you know, hair removal and fat burning.
Do they clean them before you have to mend them?
Generally people do, actually. generally people do. But no, yeah, I mean, the hood dryers is quite is quite a big thing for me. There was a guy that used to do it for many years, but he retired. So I've sort of
Do they still exist?
I know, they do.
Yeah, do they really still exist?
People have like a set every week, and they go in and have their hair washed and set and put in these dryers.
Yeah. And those, but really, blimey.
I mean, I've especially got Hythe.
Yeah, there's a couple in Hythe. I mean, I've got a salon in Deal. She's got it's amazing. Takes like step back in time, and it's a very pink, girly salon. And she's got these five dryers. They're 42 years old.
Blimey,
lovely looking, all chrome. Yeah, all chrome. Yeah. And they're so well engineered, and they're just still running. Yeah. Motors are 42 years old.
Yeah, now you see, I would buy something like that as a feature of a room, as an ornament. Yeah, I wouldn't think of sticking my head in it and trying to dry it.
But they're amazing. I mean, again, I've got another customer in Birchington. She's got four that are 35, 38 years old.
Right.
Beautiful looking things, and they're still running. But there's a lot of people out there that this comes down to the people not knowing where to go. Because this old guy, you know, he didn't use the internet, didn't have a phone. He just retired. And a lot of people then, where do I go? What do? How do I get hold of somebody? So so I try to go around all the cell and say, this is me. This is what I can do for you. You know, help them
and
out.
And the other just one is pat testing. I work with a local choir. We're a charity, and we have to have our stuff pat tested to go to particular venues.
That's
sometimes.
Correct, yeah.
And again, I wouldn't have known who to ask.
That really sat with the salons, because obviously a lot of hair salons, you know, you go in there, they've got their straighteners need pat testing, their dryers, etc. So, and then that then grew from there, that people would ask me, can you do this? I mean, I'll do one item for somebody if they want. You know, I've done it. The other day I went to a lady's house in St Mary's Bay, and I think I did three things, because she's just joined this little sewing group. They go and do some sewing. She needed a sewing machine done, an extension lead, and then an iron or something for heating the seams or something. Mm-hmm. So I did that, you know, and only charged a fiver to do it, but you know, but it is becoming a big thing. But yeah, I mean, with that, I do a lot of hair salons, anything. I mean, I'm not really pushing that side of the business too much, because it can be a little bit monotonous. But something, you know, if someone's got 200 items, yeah, I'll happily do that, you know.
Sure.
I mean, the machine I've got is pretty state of the art, so.
I'm loving this.
You know, I'm pretty flexible.
Right, you know? I need to ask you this, Andy. I'm sorry, I need to ask you this.
Go on, then.
Yeah. What can't you fix? You know, and what I mean
by
that
won't
is,
you fix?
I don't need him to reel off all the things that he's not going to have a go at, you know, like 747s and all the rest of it. Although, you know, it's worth a punt.
Well,
if we had a spare one hanging around and they didn't need it back quickly, we could take it apart, couldn't we?
I'd fix it. You'd have to test it afterwards.
Exactly. I'm just thinking, you know, in the run of the mill things that you normally would fix, you know, phones or straighteners or whatever. What is the thing that normally makes something terminal and you go, do you know what, I can't fix that?
Water on phones, iPads, being bent. It's quite common on the iPhone 6. They're bending. And then I've got device, a special tooling that you can straighten the phones out.
Right.
But
you can use a set of your straighteners, can you?
Well, you can do, yeah. For a heat straightener, that's it. But especially, I mean, the tooling I've got has cost me a lot of money. It's all, you know, come from China. It's really well-engineered stuff. But the problem you get is because the motherboard inside the phone, as in the main board, is multi-layered. And if that gets bent and you may try and straighten it, you could then cause a hairline crack, which you're never going to see, and then that could kill the phone.
Right.
But generally, it tends to be people driving over their phones. I've had that quite a lot.
Right.
Most common thing for girls is when they go out with their friends, put their phone in the back pocket, go to loo, next minute, help, my phone's down the toilet. I even had a customer the other day that it went down the loo, she even flushed the toilet, went downstairs, thinking, where's my phone? Couldn't find it, went back round, chased her steps, and it was still standing in the toilet. It's now on my desk in bits. It's an iPhone 6S. So if it doesn't work, it's going to cost us 650 quid to buy a new one.
Right. Okay.
So it's, yeah.
Can you save any of those water damage ones?
Water damage is, I mean, it used to be with the older phones, the 4.4S is about 90% success rate. With the newer phones, it's generally, it's horrible to say, but 50-50.
Right.
Because the way they design the design of the phone, you can't release some of the metal casing inside because it's hard soldered to the phone. So you can't clean the components. Because it's not the water as such that kills the phone. It's actually the minerals in the water that dries over the components that insulates them, and then it causes them to fry, because the components in these phones, we're talking microscopic, tiny, tiny, tiny little dots. And they just get too hot and they go bang. And then that's, you know.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. Years ago, actually, when I was in corporate, I spilt wine on my laptop once.
Oh, I've done that, yeah.
So I don't think they got me.
It was a breakfast meeting.
I think I had a new laptop.
You would have been a new one.
I could do the keyboard at that stage. But then the laptop where I changed my own keyboard, I spilt sparkling water on it, and I didn't think that was going to be as bad once it dried out, but it also didn't work afterwards.
It will still kill it, because it shorts out the components.
Yeah.
I mean, I had one the other day, an iMac, that the girl got salt water on it, and I was like, how do you get salt water on a, you know, iMac? What's she done on the beach?
Laptop lifestyle.
Yeah. I went to her, she was gargling. And then she choked on the gargle and spat it all over her laptop. But we managed to fix it. You know, it cost a fair bit of money, but it saved quite an expensive piece of kit.
I love
kit.
That you asked her and she told you. That's brilliant.
I get people, I treat me as like an agony uncle sometimes. I get told all these stories. Oh, this happened, that happened, my phone this, my straight is this.
When this show is over, I'm going to pin Andy to a corner for 2 hours and I'm going to write down all of his stories because I'm going to live on these for at least a year. It's brilliant.
I've got a lot. I mean, it's funny what people do with their devices, but some of them have people dropping their phones off of roofs. And the phone survived. And you get someone drops it off their settee onto a wooden floor and it just kills the phone and it will never work again. And there's just no rhyme or reason to it, unfortunately.
20-odd years ago, I owned a specialist computer cleaning company.
Okay.
We actually started off cleaning mainframes and computer rooms and deep cleaning big computer rooms. But then we got some big contracts with corporates and we had to go and clean all their PCs and all the rest of it. You would not believe what you dig out of a keyboard in an average office. It's unbelievable. You could start a crisp company alone out of the crumbs of crisps.
So you just turn your keyboard up and shake it. Stuff falls out, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. the stuff that's in there, and the worst thing for keyboards is Coke and fizzy drinks and stuff like that. And people spill that all the time on their keyboards and it's just yucky
it's
and
nasty.
Sticky. And sticky and gross inside.
No, you're the guest.
But you're saying about what you find in things. I mean, washing machines. I mean, I do washing machines, but the amount of things that you find inside them, the drain pumps, you know, money, you know, pounds, not pennies, you know, £5, £6, £7
40p in my washing machine this week.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, you get shirt darts from guys' shirts that box up the pump. Bra wise is one of the worst things. So I always wash your bras in one of them mesh bags. Otherwise, bra while comes out, it can actually damage the drum. And the tub and leaks.
Do you know, my husband managed to fix something on a washing machine by Googling it, and it was something random like shut the door, open and shut the door 6 times and then do something and something, and
worked. Reset,
I mean, it just sounded ridiculous, but it worked.
All the manufacturers have their own little different resets or ways of, you know, getting into things, and so there are some really random things out there.
I like this man. I really like this man. He's got some really awesome stories. This is brilliant. Cool. Look, Andy, we could talk about this forever, but sadly we're kind of running out of time.
Sure.
If we want to find out more about Andy and Why Not Fix, how do we do that?
Okay, well, I've got my own website, which is obviously www.whynotfix.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
That's WHYNOTFIX. I've got a Facebook page, which is Why Not Fix LTD, as in limited. You can call me on my mobile number, which is 07861 707 870.
Fantastic, Andy. Thank you so much for that.
Line. Tell them your strap line.
Oh, my strap line. There's life in it yet.
Brilliant, isn't it?
I want that.
Yeah,
I want that on I want that tattooed on my forehead. There's life in the old boy yet.
Yeah. It's going to be on my coffin.
Don't bury me yet. I'm fixable. Andy, thank you so much for that. Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic
service. Really love what you're doing. If anybody didn't write down Andy's website address, you can find it on the Kent Business Radio website. There is a link to his website there, and that will stay there, so do check that out. But for the moment, Andy Davis of Why Not Fix, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Wow. That was cool.
It was, wasn't it? I've got a whole long list for Andy. I'll be talking to him after the show.
Absolutely. I'm getting talking about things that need fixing.
Uh-huh.
I've had a tweet from the Crescent Turner Hotel.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. And it says, don't forget Father's Day, treat him to a meal at Kent Boutique Hotel, hashtag Margate. Now, as far as I know, the Crescent Turner is in Whitstable.
Ah. Oh.
So the PR consultant that did that has forgotten which hotel's which. I wonder who that would be then. I wonder if that would be some drunk sangria stacked up PR consultant currently laying by a swimming pool in Moorea then. I wonder if that would be. Anyway, possibly. Get along there on Father's Day.
Either of them.
Yeah. had a tweet from Andrea Barker, who is Andrea BC Coach on the Twitter, that says she's listening in, and she's got a blog up also, because we were talking about this earlier. She's got a blog up on the fruitworks.co blog site too. Talking of blogs, we just put up a blog on the Kent Business Radio website, which is a report from the FSB into cybercrime and the effect of cybercrime, hacking and all that kind of stuff on small businesses. And apparently small businesses are bearing the brunt of this. They're getting well and truly hammered by cybercrime. So do have a look on the FSP page on the Business Bunker show at the cybercrime report. And the reason I'm telling you this is I've had a tweet from the lovely Joanne Frey of Harlequin CDIS, and they're a cybercrime specialist, and they help small businesses with their cybercrime, their hacking, their scamming, and all the rest of it. We will be doing some more coverage of this over the coming weeks, because it is a big issue, and it's something that we want to address. So do check all of that out. To tell you what, Joe, you can read an email, or a tweet, or both, and I'll let you choose.
I'll read an email, thank you. So okay. There's a limited time offer with first month rent free. Located in the heart of Dartford, the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre offers a fantastic range of fully serviced office space, virtual offices and meeting rooms for a community of innovative companies. So if you're a startup company looking to move into your first office, or a growing company looking for a larger space, there's no better place to base your business. So you can email k.brooker@oxin.co.uk, and the discount code is Nucleus First. But that's not how you spell Nucleus. So is it their spelling, or is it...
I don't know. I can't paste it, so...
So the discount code apparently is NUCLEAUS. Oh, no, that is right. Oh, no, they've put an extra A in.
Yeah, that's
so
A.
So the A wouldn't
be
in there, because it is the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre. So spell Nucleus correctly and then put 1ST at the end of it. That's your discount code. But I'm sure Kay Brooker will be able to help you if you email k.brooker@oxin.co.uk.
Fabulous. Thank you. Natalie Benaigs, the gorgeous Natalie Benaig. Hi Paul, can we have a shout out please about our next Kent Creative Live meetup in Faversham on the 12th of July, and we have guest author Patricia Mahoney there. So get along to that. That's on Kent Creative Live, Faversham, on the 12th of July. New Appointments Group have tweeted again. 2 weeks to go until New Appointments Group North Kent B2B Go-Kart Challenge. You can register at kentb2b.co.uk. We've actually got some emails about that later that we're going to read out. And the lovely Amanda Flanders of B&D Events has said, hi, Vanilla Web. Unable to listen live. We'll listen on the catch-up. Please could you give me a shout-out? And she's got a hashtag, which is what colour today? Oh, I see. That's me. Blue, obviously.
Well, blue and quite flowery.
Yeah. Yeah. Blue.
You think you're in the Caribbean today, don't you?
Absolutely.
Have you looked outside at the weather?
Yeah, absolutely. And also Red Sails Faversham, tasting and pairing exquisite Kentish food with Chapel Down wines in Faversham, they say. I'm going to read a quick email and then we'll go from there, I think. Talk amongst yourselves. There's a Kent... Hold on. What happened there? What happened there?
I don't know. You've gone all funny, and I don't think I'm on either.
Went all funny. Hold on.
You clicked a switch. Oh, no, we need...
That's better.
Oh, I thought we were going to need Andy then.
We nearly set him up for something to do then, didn't we? I leant on a button. Sorry about that.
Does that mean we had a moment of silence? When you said talk amongst yourselves, you made it really look like you wanted them to.
Yeah, that was really clever, wasn't it? I engineered that.
I'd have believed him if he hadn't looked so panicky at this end.
Yeah. There's a networking lunch which is being called Slope Off Friday. That's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a business networking lunch, and it's taking place on July the 1st at 2 p.m. and it's at the Crescent Margate, and it's hosted by Andrew Knott, who's the FSB membership coordinator, and it's a set menu, and it's £14.99, and you can find out about it by ringing Andrew on 07747114627.
And guess what?
What?
I can't go to that either.
What a surprise.
I'll be in France. I'll be learning more useless words like le trombone.
Right. Do you know what we're going to do now? Le trombone is a paperclip.
Yeah, it's very good.
Absolutely. Nice one. We're going to play some more tunage.
Lovely.
And we can have a little break. And then when we come back, we'll talk to our next guest. What do you reckon?
I think that's a good plan.